Praise God. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. We've been on this series for a while. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So, again, we've spent 13 weeks talking on this scripture because there's more to it than meets the eye. You know, we found out that it's not just God doing everything. And we can sit on the couch and just, wait for someone to knock on the door and here's your pile of money this month. But that there are some things involved here. The Bible says that we are workers together with Him. Amen. So, my God shall liberally supply, and the Amplified Bible says liberally supply, all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Again, the word need in the Greek can also be translated wants, business, employment. And so, I've thrown the word income in there. Because the moment you're talking about business and the moment you're talking about employment, you're talking about income. Amen. So our God said He will liberally supply all of our needs, all of our wants, all of our business, all of our income, all of our employment, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, or by the anointing of Jesus. And the phrase, according to His riches and glory, that's the title of this message, according to His riches and glory. The word according, or the phrase, according to His riches and glory, when I read that, In my New King James here, and the exact same page, all of a sudden I'm just continuing to read on down, and I got to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, "To them God, willing to make known what are the riches of the glory," and I stopped and I said, I just read that phrase a moment ago. The riches of the glory. It's according to His riches and glory, and He's talking about the mystery, making known unto us the riches of the glory of the ministry among the Gentiles or the nations, which is what? Christ in you. Christ in you. The anointed one and His anointing in us. The hope, the expectation of glory. All of a sudden I began to see that my God shall liberally supply all of my needs, my wants, my business, my income, my employment, according to His anointing in me. That He gave me. And then when started to dig into the phrase according to, because we can have the mentality, if it's according to His riches and glory, if it's according to His power, then I've got nothing to do with it. So we rejoice because He's going to liberally supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we do what? Again, we can mistakenly just think about, we can sit on the couch, you know, because here it comes. And decades come and go, and the couch is out of style, and still, nobody's knocked on the door, right? So when I began to look at the word according to in the Greek, it also has, it's got a number of meanings, but it also has this meaning of intensity, opposition, and distribution. And we began to talk into that. The intensity of His anointing. The distribution, or went to Mark chapter 4 talking about the measure. The measure that we use, it's measured back to us. And so the measure of that anointing in operation. Because Ephesians chapter 3 says that He's able to do far over and above all that we could dare ask or even think according to the power that is at work within us. So I began to see this same phrase, according to that power. So the intensity, the distribution, and the opposition, using that power against what we want changed. And as we got into that, we began to find out that when we're talking about the opposition and talking about the distribution and talking about the intensity, we're talking about faith. Because faith is what activates the power. The faith and the power work together. All right, I said that the problem is not the power. You know, if any of this equipment didn't work, the problem wasn't the power, especially if we notice that the cord is laying on the ground. The problem is that it's not plugged in. Amen? The power was here all the time. All along, the power's been here, but that's our plugging into it that causes us to be able to use and enjoy it. And we saw that, and I really like this story because it's, I mean, the Holy Ghost began to show me more things out of it. But when Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and there was this crowd around the remaining disciples, and some of the religious people were talking. And so Jesus shows up, comes on down, and he goes, what do you want? What are you talking about? What's going on here? And a father interrupted. Because Jesus didn't ask him the question. He's asking, okay, what are you guys talking about? What are you guys, you know, asking my disciples? I can help. And a father interrupts and says, I brought my son to your disciples to be delivered, to be free, and to pray for him. And they couldn't. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. And so if you can help me, if you can help us, do something. And Jesus said this. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So the issue is not if I can do anything. The issue is not if I have the power to do it. The issue is, can you believe? Because all things are possible to them that believe. So the issue is, what can you believe? Right? What can you believe? Because when we saw the woman with the issue of blood, she came to Jesus and she got what she wanted. But she figured out that a long time before she got there. She was at home and the Bible says she heard of Jesus. And the moment she heard of Jesus, she got this on the inside of her. If I can just touch and get a hold of the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. I'll be healed. And that's just going around. She's thinking about that. And then she's saying it. If I can just, she's telling all her friends. It's coming out of her. And it got so much on the inside of her, she's fully persuaded that she said, I have to get dressed. I have to open the door, walk out, and go to Jesus. It moved her. She was so fully persuaded, if I can just get a hold of the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I will be made whole. And she began to step and began to walk. And like I said, I'm not sure if she walked through the crowd or if she crawled through the crowd, but she pushed through that crowd, which she wasn't supposed to be among because she was unclean. Yet she pushed through and she got a hold of the hem of his garment, and literally it stopped Jesus in his tracks. Because he said, who touched me? And his disciples said, that's kind of a silly question. Everyone's been touching you. And he goes, no, this is not just a bump. This is not just a touch. It's not a squeeze. This is not a rub. He said, power. The Bible, King James says, virtue came out of me. Power, the mighty, miraculous power of God that makes all things possible. Dunamis escaped me. So he's looking for a testimony. Because this doesn't just happen. You know, it doesn't just leak out. Oh, boy, that went some more power, you know. I might should be, let's get it back. You know, use it for someone who needs it. No. It doesn't just leak out. It was taken out. It escaped him. So there's a testimony. And she began to share her testimony. So people will think, okay, so how did she get healed? You know, someone's in a condition and they go, okay, she touched him and she got healed. So how did she get healed? Well, the power. So we need to get the power. We need to get more power. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, woman, the power made you whole. He said, no, woman, your faith has made you whole. Amen. Your faith has made you whole. And so then as we bring that back in the area of finance, we bring that back into regards of our Lord liberally supplying all of our needs, our wants, our business, our income, our employment, according to His riches and glory, according to that anointing that He's given us, deposited on the inside of us. When it's according to that, we began to see that getting the power, that anointing to operate, it's based on what we believe. It's based on our faith. Our faith activates the power. So the issue is not the power. God's not the problem. He's the solution. But Him being the solution doesn't mean that every problem is automatically fixed. Right? Because it's not a power problem. It's a connection problem. So if we have a need, whatever that need might be, He's the answer. His power is able to fix it. Yet it doesn't automatically fix the problem just because there's a problem. So remember, Jesus says He went into this area where there were many different sections of sick people all around. He walked through them all and came up to one guy and said, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? And his thought was, well, of course. But he said, every time I go towards the water, someone else gets in before me. He said, I don't have a man to help me. And Jesus, standing in front of him, said, I'm your man. Rise up and walk. Take your bed and go home. And then Jesus turns around and leaves. Everybody else there. So just because there's need doesn't mean the power is activated. It doesn't mean the power goes and attacks the need. And so just because we have a need doesn't mean that it's automatically going to be fixed and met. It's fixed and met according to what we believe. Remember, and I've shared this before, but Brother Hagin talks about the one story about this lady that came forward with her prayer, and she had a cane or a walker, and something about something else. So he said, what are we praying about? And she said something, I don't know if it had to do with her eyes or had to do with some kind of cold or some kind of condition. He prayed for that, and then she's well, and she turned around and she's walking away, and he goes, what about that? And I think you know, referring to, can I pray for, you know, the cane? Can I pray for your leg? And she goes, oh no, that's all right. I'm fine. I got what I wanted. Can you see that? She got what she wanted. God's not a bully. He doesn't just, here, let me make everything right. No, He wants to make everything right, but we have a choice. What do we want? So too many times we've settled for just whatever we get, or we settled for just, well, you know, Lord, if you can just do this, whew, thank you. You know, and that's what we got. So one of the reasons I began to I was stirred up and encouraged about sharing this is because it seems like too many times we think we're waiting on God. We're waiting on Him to do something. You know, and I'm specifically talking about something that that has to do with redemption. You know, there are some things that it took me years to get my wife. So there are things we need to wait for. Not everything happens right away, but there are other things when it comes to redemption. We ought not to be waiting 40 years to get healed. You know, I waited 40 years for my wife, but well, we ought not have been waiting 40 years to get healed. We ought not to wait 40 years to financially increase. We ought not to wait 40 years to have our sins forgiven. Amen? We ought not to be waiting year after year and decade after decade in regards to redemption stuff that He already bought and purchased for us. Amen? It's ours. Now, salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? And so we ought not to be waiting. And so sometimes we think we're waiting on God. And yet the truth of the matter is, He's waiting on us more than we're waiting on Him. Because when He makes the statement, your faith has made you whole. Well, why wasn't she healed the week before? Well, because she didn't come get it. Right? Nowhere in the story did it say that this certain date. So she really had to wait. She really wanted it a week earlier. But no, I have to wait. I have to wait until 12 o'clock noon next week so I can leave and go. No. She went. Amen? She got it. So then, from that, I read some phrases about sowing. Brother Hagin talked about sowing seed. And so I read these phrases about sowing seed that is different than our mentality of sowing seed. I mean, when we talk about in our circle sowing seed, we think about tithes and offerings. But I began to see that there's some different ways of sowing seed, different things outside of our box about sowing seed. And in John Muir Torrey's book, when we went through that, we saw some things in regards to finances, sowing seed, talking about lending or investing. That's a way of sowing seed, giving whatever. So seed is not just tithes and offerings, but we can sow love. We can sow mercy. Amen. We can sow faithfulness. But investing, I mean, what do? We give someone our money and they pay us a return to use our money. It's sowing seed and there's a harvest, there's a reaping. So then I had these quotes. John Canfield said, money flows to value. Wherever you decide to put your energies, the key is to become more valuable to your customers or clients or others. And you do that by getting better at solving their problems, delivering products and adding services that they want and need. Money flows to value. Jim Rohn said this, we get paid based on our value in the marketplace. So the value of the person getting $7 an hour and the person, the one of the top CEOs in the U.S. that's, I figured, making around $32,000 an hour. You know, there's a value difference. And that's why what they get paid is different. Right? John Maxwell says that the law number 5 in his book, The Law of Addition, is that leaders add value to others by serving others. So money flows to value. And we value others, or we add value to others by serving others. Kenneth Copeland said this, the Lord told him, don't try to figure out how to get the money in, but figure out how to get the word out. Adding value, see, add value to people, and the money will come. Why? Because money flows to value. And then Zig Ziglar said, you can get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. Adding value. Rabbi Lapine says in his book, Thou Shalt Prosper, he calls money certificates of appreciation. So the more people appreciate, the more value we add to other, the more they appreciate, the more certificates of appreciation we get. So am I saying we all have to be business owners? No. Am I saying we all have to invest in something? No. What I'm saying is we're to add value. Do you understand? Certificates of appreciation. We can be an employee. And the more value we add to our boss, the more value we add to our employer, the more certificates of appreciation they give us. You know, when the less value we add to our employer, the less certificates of appreciation we get. Till we get to the point where we don't add any value to them at all, they say, you might as well stay home forever. Right? But the more value we add to them, the more they say, we don't want you to stay home. We want to make you very happy here. You make me happy, I want to make you happy. Certificates of appreciation. So, hey, you know what? We're gonna pay you some more. Why? Because certificates of appreciation, we're adding value to those above us, those with us. Hallelujah. Jesus said it this way, give, and it shall be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall mankind give to us. For the measure we use is the measure, the way it will be measured back to us. Amen? And so having said that, it's like, okay, Lord, this is stirring on the inside of me, and I'm very excited about it. Where's it in the Bible? These Christian men, Jewish men, they're saying these things, and I can understand it, and so I can see a few scriptures, but this is your idea, so there ought to be a whole lot more in here. So I began looking for this phrase, looking for this idea that money follows value. And so we've talked about a number of them over the last couple of weeks. Now let's pick up at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 12. Glory to God. Because I don't want to just throw some. I mean, we're a church. We're not a community center. We're not some seminar organization, right? And just throw out some cool ideas and motivate people and send them out the door. We're a church. And so the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's not our will, but His will that we want done. Amen? And we want to bring Him glory. And so, I mean, we learned this, I mean, when we were in the early 80s. We learned about this. I mean, you know, is the Word of God is first place. The Word of God is first place. You know, Brother Copeland and Brother Hagin would say this, don't just believe me because I said it. Check it out in the Word of God. You know, find it in the Word. Judge us based on what the Word says. And so let's go to Proverbs 12, verse 8. You're probably there. I'm almost there. Proverbs 12 and verse 8 says this, a man will be commended according to his wisdom. A man will be commended. We are recommended according to our wisdom. Isn't that interesting? Our value in the marketplace. We are commended. We're recommended based on our wisdom. Money flows to value. I remember hearing a story about a plant that went down because a piece of equipment quit working. And they had all their technicians and all their mechanics and their engineers in there to work on it, and nothing happened. And they're losing $1 million an hour. And so, you know, you got a few hours into it and nothing's happening. And so then they phone and so-and-so, they're bringing in the man. Okay, why? Because he's got the wisdom. He knows what to do. And so they fly him in across the country. And he comes in, and in 10 minutes, he's got the machine working, going, and submits his bill with many zeros behind it. for 10 minutes. Why? Because he was recommended because of his wisdom. His value in the marketplace is high. Listen, I could have taken the bus. You know, could have taken a week to get here. But how many millions is that? How many hours have come and gone? Well, we don't have time to do that. So we need to, who do you recommend? Well, this is the guy. You need it done now? You need it done right? You need to save a bunch of money? This is the guy to do it. You know, so his fee is big because his wisdom is big. His ability to solve problems is big. And it's not just solving problems, it's solving your problem. Because it's your money going one way or the other. Do you want to spend a little bit to get the problem fixed? Or lose a whole bunch by trying to get some other experts to try something? Right? So, we're recommended according to our wisdom, our value in the marketplace. Solving problems and adding services and products that they need. That's what Jack Canfield said. This is money flows to value. Money follows value. He's adding value to people, solving their problems. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 8. I like this one. A present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. And I read that and it's like, a present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns. Wherever the gift giver... wherever the gift giver and the value adder turns, he prospers. Wherever the gift giver and the value adder turns, they prosper. Why? Because they're continually adding value to people. McDonald's for decades added value to people's children. We used to open up Cracker Jacks. And we get Cracker Jacks whether we liked it or not, because there was something added value in there for us as kids, right? There was a toy. There was a gift being given. We usually eat this cereal, but Mom, this week we need to get that cereal. Why? Because I saw that they're giving away this kind of toy. There's some value. They're adding value. Value. That's what helps draw people in. People love gift givers. And wherever the gift giver, the value adder turns, they prosper. Money follows value. Now you can do this in a selfish, manipulative way, but those kind of people don't last long. Right? Those kind of people don't last long. That was Rabbi Lapine's book on Thou Shalt Prosper. Most of it is about how honorable and how good business is. And how North America or the world, Hollywood, puts all these movies together to bash the large business owner. They're always the bad guy. The guy who's made lots and lots and lots of money. He must have done it crooked. He must have not done it well. You know, he did it illegally. He did not do things well. And now he wants to take over the world for his own selfish gain. He said those kind of people, they don't last long. Why? Because those seeds that they sow, they reap. He said most business owners want to add value to people. So you get the guy that maybe has a toy and wants to get them in. Look at that. They're getting all those kids in, all their parents, all those families going in and eating over there. Let's get some toys for the kids over here. You know, but they'll get cheap toys. They'll get cheesy, cheap stuff fall apart. They'll spend as little as they can to make it appear that they are wanting to add value, but we're not. And the first person that complains that it falls apart, they yell at them. They don't care about them. They don't treat the customer well. They don't care about the people. And so over the process of time, they don't last. So let's not get hung up on the motive. Let's just recognize our motive is love. And we want to add value to people. And The present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Therefore, wherever he, the gift giver, she, the gift giver, the value adder, turns, they prosper. Here's an idea. How can we give gifts? How can we be a blessing? How can we add value to people? Because wherever the gift giver, the value adder, turns, they increase. I'm seeing these scriptures all over the place. So let's go to Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. You know, Peter's drive-in. You can buy yourself a single cheeseburger there. And you know what they do? How many patties do they throw in a single cheeseburger?
Two.
One and a half. Yeah, you know. So it's I mean, you got two of them. It's not just one, it's two. The one of them is smaller than the other. But, you know, you buy up half the street and turn it into a parking lot so your people can drive and park and sit. And what are you doing? You're adding value to people. And a single small fry is the size of a giant massive fry, you know. And so adding value to people. Adding value to people. It's like you wonder why the single place is still around decades and decades later. Because they're adding value. Hallelujah. Where are we going? 2 Kings. 2 Kings 4? Wow. That's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Yeah, unless I change my mind. No, 2 Kings 4. You got it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Kings 4, 8 to 17. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. Now I think the Amplified Bible says she's a wealthy woman, notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room. Let's make an apartment. Let's add a second story to our house. And let us put a bed in there for him and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be. Whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." He's adding value to people. He's a prophet. He's about doing his ministry. And she sees him coming along, and it's like, we need to feed this guy. So he's adding value, and they start feeding him. I mean, and he's adding value to them now at their home. Because, you know, if he wasn't adding value to them, they wouldn't have been out there the next time he walked by saying, "Hey, come back in. We got some real good stuff made today. You know, come on in. Every time you come by, please come." You know, make it a regular thing. All of a sudden, he's adding value to them. They're adding value to him. She says, "Let's make an apartment. Let's build a room. Let's build some space for him. So when he comes and we feed him, he can now just go up and he can rest. He can study. He can pray. He can just, this can be a home away from home." And her husband said, "That's a good idea." And so they did it. Over the process of time, verse 12, then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to her, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. You've taken care of us. You've added value to us. What can I do for you?'" So here's just an example of what we see. Money follows value. So she's spending her money feeding him. Time and money. And he's been such a blessing to them that they're now also spending more money to make a home for him. A place where he can really rest. Not just eat, have a good food, and then off we go again. But now some space, some private space. You know, he's not just sleeping on their couch. Come on in, sleep on the couch. Don't mind us if we walk through in the middle of the night, you know, and open the fridge door and the light shines. Don't bother us. But no, he's now got an apartment. Him and Gehazi can go relax. They can pray. They can talk in private. They've added value. And now he comes to her and says, you've done all this. You've added all this value to us. He says, what can I do for you? Certificates of appreciation. But see, in this case, you could almost say the same thing that Peter and John said at the gate called Beautiful. We're not talking about silver and gold here. You know, that's not what we're talking about. But what I have, give I you. What can I do for you? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I talk to the king on your behalf? Can I, you know, I've got some influence. Can she goes, no, I'm fine. I'm happy here and living where I am. We're safe. We're doing fine. So he goes and prays about it some more and then talks to Gehazi. And Gehazi says, she's childless and her husband's getting old. Call her back. She said, this time next season, you'll have a child. And she said, oh, no. Don't be playing with me. Don't be lying. Don't pour salt in the wound. This is not funny. He said, no, it's true. And sure enough, the next year, she had her baby. And the Bible says that her grown son went out into the field one day. Must have got heat stroke. I don't know what happened, but he said his head. And so he told one of his employees, take him to his mother. And he died at home. And so she went back to the prophet. She said, let's get in the car. Told her husband, off we go. You know, they didn't have cars, but they went for a ride. And she told her servant, she told the employee, don't slow down unless I tell you to. We're going to the prophet's house. And off they went. Long story short, the prophet comes back to her house and raises her son from the dead. Why? Because she added value to him. And what he had, he was adding value to her. It opened the door for the anointing and the power of God to give her a son and then to raise him from the dead. There's a connection there. Amen. Wherever a gift giver, value adder turns, he prospers. We see here they valued one another. And he got an apartment, she got a child, and her child is raised from the dead. Value. Money flows to value. The blessings flow to value. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 19. Now we can see some things in the reverse here. Proverbs 19 verse 15. Says, laziness casts one into a deep pit or a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. An idle person will be one of those people that doesn't add value, right? A lazy person will be someone who doesn't add value to others. Any idle person, an idle person who adds no value will suffer hunger. For example, if we go to Luke chapter 15, and I'm not going to read it, but Luke 15, actually I am going to read it. Just because, I want to make sure I'm quoting it right, so I'm going to read it. This is a story about two sons. A father had two sons. He gave his inheritance to both of them. Verse. So, Luke 15, verse 11 to 16. Second son, off he goes. And so the second son, off he goes. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine. So verse 14, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine or the pig ate, and no one gave him anything. He spent all, he was in want. He joined himself to someone, and no one gave him anything. He was hungry. Nowhere in that story do we see that he added value to anyone. And even his generosity with all the party people. You know, everyone's your friend when you got all the money until the money's gone. And then they go find another friend. So none of his giving to help them is actually considered adding value to anyone. Interesting. Yeah, but I gave. No, you didn't give. You wasted. There's a difference between giving and wasting. And so he gave and nobody gave back to him. He found himself in want. He found himself hungry. And that's what we see here, literally. Proverbs 19:15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. He was not adding value to anyone. He's just out having fun. And it caught up with him. No seed sown, no value added. When he was in trouble, no one gave him anything. That's what the Bible says. We're talking about money follows value. An idle person, someone who adds no value, will suffer hunger. Let's go to Genesis 15:1. Genesis 15:1. Now Genesis 15:1 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. So if we back the bus up just a little bit, we'll see that Abram, at this point in time, he went and he attacked a number of kings with 318 of his employees. And they defeated these military, the army of these kings that took. And the reason he went is because they attacked Sodom and Gomorrah. And so all of a sudden, Abram's nephew got caught up in this whole attack. And so he went to set him free. So him and his employees, Abram and his employees, trained. They went out and they kicked butt. And they got everything back. And then we find out that Melchizedek, the priest of Jerusalem, the man of God, shows up. And in verse 19, he blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God Most High, who has delivered your enemy into your hands. And he, Abram, gave him tithes of all. And then the king shows up and says, hey, you know what, can you just give me my people back? And Abram says, I'm actually going to give everything back. Lest, I've already lifted my hand and swore to God. I put my trust and my confidence in Him. He's my source. So I'm going to give everything back to you except for what my men already ate and have taken. I'm going to give everything else back, lest you say that you made me rich. And so, basically now, Abram's got nothing. Right? He went out, did all this stuff. God got a great victory. He honored the Lord with his tithe. Gave the rest back to the king. But his trust is in God and he's still got a smile on his face. But he's got nothing out of it except maybe a meal, you know, fed himself and all his men. And the Lord shows up. And the Lord says to him, Abram, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. So number one, fear not. Number two, I'm your shield. I'm your defense. The Amplified Bible says defense. He's said, I'm your protection. I'm your shield. I'm going to defend you. You've honored me with your tithe. You've given everything else away. It may look like you have nothing, but he said, I'm your shield. I'm protecting you. I'm defending you. And then he says, I am your exceeding great reward. Well, to us, that almost means nothing. Until I looked it up in the Hebrew. And the Hebrew says this. Exceeding means I'm quickly and speedily. Great means I'm quickly and speedily increasing and multiplying reward, wage, salary, and worth. I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm quickly and speedily increasing and multiplying your wage, your salary, and your worth. So what do we see here? I'm increasing your wage, your salary, and your worth. My worth in the marketplace. His worth in the marketplace. God is interested in our value increasing. Amen? By virtue of Him saying, I'm your exceeding great reward, He's saying, I'm interested, personally interested, in your value increasing. See, and we work together with Him. Just because He's interested in our value increasing doesn't mean it automatically does. It's not automatic. We work together with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's do one more. Proverbs 12:14. One more, and then we'll pick up next week. Yeah, that'll work. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. So, we see here a man, a woman, a person will be satisfied with good. The word good in the Hebrew can be translated precious, valuable, prosperity. So how are we satisfied with good, with precious, valuable prosperity? Well, we're looking at money follows value. So where does the value come in this verse? He will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. So a lot of times, I mean, in our circles, we've taken that to just talk about our confession. And it's true. I mean, our confession can hinder or hold back. But let's take it a step further, because by the fruit of our mouth, he's talking about words, he's talking about speech, he's talking about conversation, and he goes on to say the recompense, the benefit, or the reward of a man's hand. Now that's the Hebrew word, I think it's yod, and it means an open hand, not a closed hand. Not a hand that's hanging on and taking, but an open hand. An open hand giving power, means, and direction. So he said, a person will be satisfied with good, precious, valuable prosperity by the fruit of their mouth and the reward, the benefit of this open hand giving power, means, and direction will be rendered or paid to him. So this may not necessarily, the way I'm going to read it now, apply to everyone. But If we are in the business where speech, teaching, training, singing, where speech is valuable, speech is part of the job, the business, then we can lay hold of this, that a person will be satisfied with precious, valuable prosperity by his speech, his teaching, his training, and the reward of this speech, teaching, training, singing, that's adding value, giving power, means, and direction as an open hand, will be paid to them. So can you see again? Money follows value. The value is taking the gift of the speech, teaching, training, singing, whatever it might be. The speech, answering phones, I mean, whatever it might be. Speech, using words in business. Writing commercials, coming up with leaders. Prime ministers, premiers, writing speeches. God says that we add value as an open hand. We're giving, adding value. He says there's income, there's money tied to that adding value. See, this is not just a couple verses and not just a couple quotes from some guys that are Christians, but we're just making something up. No, this is the Word of God. This is Scripture. Amen? Hallelujah. So, my God, our Father, our source, He liberally supply. He wants to liberally supply all of our needs, our wants, our business, our income, our employment, according to our faith in His anointing that He's given us. What can we believe? And so I'm going through these verses, money follows value, because when I joined the John Maxwell team, he's continually talking about adding value, constantly talking about adding value, constantly talking about adding value. And it's starting to get off on me. It's starting to get off on us. Because let me say, we hear this phrase, we're blessed to be a blessing. You hear that so long that it just becomes like a catchphrase. It's kind of like years ago, God is good. And everyone would say, all the time. And I would say, are we just a bunch of parrots? What good is God is good all the time God is good, if He's not good to me? I mean, if He's good to you, I mean, I'm excited. But the truth of the matter is, if He's not good to me, life's a bummer. So I say, God is good. And you know, and people would say all the time, and I say, yeah, but God, and God is good to me. Let's say that. God is good and God's good to me. Amen. Let's get the revelation that He's good and He's good to me. He's not just good to whoever. You know, so, well, I know they're good over there, but I want them to be good to me. Why? He's good. And I want to enjoy His goodness. Amen? I want to change my thinking. He's not just good, but He's good to me. You know, John, he wrote a whole book in the Bible, and he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never used his name, never talked about himself. He just said, and the disciple whom Jesus loved. And as he's writing, he's going, that's me. He loves me. He had a revelation. He understood it. Amen? And God is good. He's good to me. And so when we're talking about adding value, we're not just seeing, and that's the phrase, we're blessed to be a blessing. It's the same thing. Right. Yeah. But it's meaning more to me, because it's coming from something different. It's making my mind think different. The access to me came different. And so it's having a bigger and a better impact on me. Yeah. You know, we're here to add value to others. And so that's why we started our Core Course series. I mean, so we can add value to people in the Calgary area. And like Audrey and I first started, the first one we advertised and said that there's a fee for it. We're going to charge for it. Why? Because it's a seminar. It's a 6-hour seminar. So we'll charge for it. And then as we began to pray about it and think about it, and as we're going through this, all of a sudden it's like, you know what? We are here to add value to people, so there is no charge for it. No charge. And so it's not free. I mean, it costs me a lot of time. And it costs money to put it on. But there is no charge. There is a difference. You know, salvation's not free. It costs Jesus' life. Right? But there is no charge. There's no charge. And we're going to get into another verse down the road here that actually uses that word no charge. And it's like, oh, very cool. Very cool. So that's where we're going. I'm excited. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up.